He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is March the 15th. As March Madness begins this week, we got a little March Madness going on in the market. Now, today we've got just the opposite of what we've seen over the last several weeks. The Dow did open higher, was up over 100 points, and the NASDAQ was up a few points. And now we've seen kind of a reversal here. You got a miniature rally going on in the NASDAQ. It's up 43 points, 13,360. The Dow, however, has now gone negative. It's down 20 points to 32,755 after hitting a new all-time high on Friday. S&P fighting, bashing its head on 3950. Remember that number. Write it on your somewhere on a notepad or something. 3950. That's been the top of the S&P. Is that the ultimate top for now? We'll see. It can't get through there. It's at 3941, 9 points away from the all-time high today. Russell 2000, which small caps have really been leading the large caps. Now, that's a huge reversal, after several years of large cap leadership. You've got the Russell down 7 points today, 0.3%. Crude oil off $1.06, backing down just a little, 64.55. Crude's had a pretty nice run as America gets vaccinated. Gold up $12, 17.32. Silver up 42 cents, 26.33. Well, that's why probably the NASDAQ has got just a miniature rally today. The 10-year bond, little tiny rally, we're down 3 basis points to 1.61%. So welcome to the Monday, March 15th Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, you know, if you looked at the new high list, that's one of the features of the MarketSmith the MarketSmith charting software that I use, and a lot of other charting software and different publications. They publish a new high list every day. I look at it at the end of the week. Stocks that are making new all-time highs or new 52-week highs, whatever the case may be. Well, if you looked at the new high list, I flipped through it this morning and last night, you wouldn't even recognize it, okay? Compared to about 6 to 8 weeks ago, where the new high list was just, you know, almost all technology, semiconductors, cloud, Bitcoin related, electric vehicle related, and on and on and on. Well, you go through that new high list today and you will see small banks in the Midwest, small banks in the Northeast, George Banks in Father of the Bride. No, just getting there. But you will see steel stocks and aluminum stocks and iron pellet stocks, right? What kind of market is this, you say? I've never seen anything like this. Well, I would say get used to it, because this looks like a trend that is here to stay. This is not the first time this trend has happened, where value is favored over growth, but it's been a while, and I would venture to say that there's a lot of new entrants into the stock market through platforms like Robinhood and others that offer $0 trades, no trading cost whatsoever. What a change I've seen in my 24 years in the business, from the days of the Merrill Lynch broker charging $400 to put that trade in for you, to the advent of the discount broker And now pretty much everywhere you go, trades are free. Well, they're not free if you lose money, okay? But the transactions are free. And I think that has brought a lot of new people into the market. There's been some other changes at Schwab and Robinhood and others where you can buy fractional shares. Some people can't afford an entire share of Amazon at $3,051 per share. That's an ugly chart on Amazon, just flat. It's not ugly. It's lifeless. It's a sailboat fluttering in the wind, waiting for some kind of a direction and not getting any. Anyways, Amazon's $3,052 a share. What if I could buy one-tenth of a share? That's still $305. What about a hundredth? Let's get it down to $30, I suppose. Well, I don't know what the different increments are, but that has brought a lot of new entrants, a lot of new people into the stock market. And, you know, when I entered in 24 years ago, a lot of the new people coming in are going to have to learn the hard way, just like the rest of us did along the way. I actually started buying stocks maybe 30, 35 years ago, something like that. A lot of lessons learned over the years. Well, I try to give you a little bit of a shortcut by going over the lessons that I've learned and what I'm seeing in the charts and in the valuations and in the activity in the stocks here that I'm watching. And I can pull back on my past and my my history and my experience in the market and say, I've seen a market like this before. Where a lot of new entrants in the market can't say that. I've never seen anything like this. What's U.S. Steel? The symbol is X. It's one of the stocks hitting a new all-time high. What happened to Tesla? At $900 a share, hitting new all-time highs. How come it's not in the list anymore? Well, there's a big V letter that always comes to play eventually in the stock market. It's valuation. What is the stock worth? For several months there, from like November of last year to about February, middle of February, valuation went out the window once again, like it did in the year 2000. You see, I've seen that scenario before. I've seen that movie. It didn't end well. It wasn't a happy ending. No, not the year 2000, when valuations went out the window for a couple of years, really. And eventually, people started paying attention to valuation again, and you saw a massive valuation correction to the tune of about 80%. 80%! 100 grand became 20 grand. 10 grand became 2 grand. Try sitting through that. That's tough. A lot of people did. And a lot of people were scorched and burned in that tech crunch of 2000. Well, the experience, you know, was good, I suppose, to have witnessed it and seen it. And I've always been tainted by it, I suppose, in a good way. Because I've always paid very close attention to valuations. And I would say, of all the different disciplines that are the hardest to learn in investing, I would say the valuation part of it. The easiest thing to learn, and this is where most people begin, is they hear the story. It's a story. Oh, I've heard a lot of stories over the years, a lot of stories that had very unhappy endings. But it sounded good to begin with, some new technology, some new breakthrough here, some new breakthrough there, something you can now do in a test tube that you couldn't do before, something on the internet that speeds it up 100 times, whatever, okay? The story is the easiest thing. But, you know, once you hear that story, it's a good idea to have a filter to put that story through. I look at the chart of the stock. That's very important. It tells me what others think of the story. And if the story looks good on the charts too, then you might have a good story. Well, okay, now let's look at how other stocks in the same industry are doing, competitors, you know, comparables. And then let's get down to nuts and bolts valuation. What's the expected growth rate of this thing over the next 5 years? When will they be profitable? Are they profitable? Will they ever be profitable? What kind of profits can they achieve if they keep up this kind of a growth rate? And what kind of multiple are we going to place on that stock? Now, when you get all of those that come together, everything, the story, the chart, the valuations, the momentum against the market, against its peers, then we have something to look at. And that becomes a very narrow list of stocks. I call them best stocks now. And I would say this, today's best stocks now are altogether different from the best stocks now of early this year. It's a whole new ball game. You can keep beating that dead horse, or you can learn a few new tricks in this industry. That's what I'm here to do. This is Best Stocks Now, and Bill Gunderson will be right back. Here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now. Dow up 7 now, and the NASDAQ up about 40. So we have moved back up into positive territory. S&P's down a couple points, however. And the 10-year has come down a little bit. It's come down from 1.63. It had quite a spike last week, causing more damage and really chilling, just bringing a big chill to the NASDAQ and the tech sector. And that looks like a trend that is here to stay with us. The move away from tech into cyclicals. You can also call it the move away from mega caps into more small and mid caps. And you can also call it the move away from growth into value. I see all three of those phenomenon taking place right now. You probably wouldn't recognize my portfolios if you looked at them right now either, compared to where we were in January and really over the last couple of years. I mean, we took advantage of this big run in tech and rode it for all it's worth, but I see the market moving in a different direction. And if you want to zig while it zags, be my guest. Everybody to each his own. That's what makes a market. Dow closed at record highs last week. S&P could not close above 39.50. NASDAQ ended the week in the red as bond yields continue to rise. That was last week. That's where we left off last week, okay? The 10-year Treasury close got up to 1.65. We will have a two-day Fed meeting this week. We'll see what they have to say. Now, the last time that Chairman Powell, not Chairman Mao, Chairman Powell said anything about, you know, he didn't say enough about inflation. He didn't say enough about not worried about inflation. And that caused a huge sell-off, in the tech stocks. That was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Stock futures this morning, you know what? They were a little on the soft side. The Dow definitely favoring the NASDAQ. And right now, the market's kind of searching for direction. Overnight, China down 1%. China stocks have also come to a screeching halt here over the last several weeks. And Europe is starting to wobble a little bit. I go through all of these major charts in my newsletter every week. That's important to check out that play card every week and see how the different asset classes are behaving and how they look on a chart. Now, you would also not recognize the leading sectors in the market right now compared to where we were. For how many months were the leading sectors, cloud technology, electric vehicles, autonomous technologies, semiconductors, and on and on and on? That's not the case anymore. Those are not your leading sectors in the market anymore. And, of course, there's the debate, well, the market's broadening out. I don't see it broadening out. I'm not seeing that because I'm seeing the tech sector get left behind while the money is flowing into more cyclical types of sectors. That's what I'm seeing. And, you know, I mean, the debate goes on. There's some that say, hey, this is a great buying opportunity in the NASDAQ, in the tech sectors, in the electric vehicle stocks. Well, I'm not seeing that myself. I haven't seen any signs of that yet, but there's people buying into these sell-offs. And that's the way, you know, the market, that's the world turns as the market turns. You go which way you want to go. I'll go my way. You go your way. I'll go mine, as Bob Dylan used to say. ARK is investing in 3D systems. Okay, a 3D printer stock. That's her way. She's done pretty well. But at the same time, she's, you know, in the midst. This is Kathy Wood, who gets a lot of media. I mean, she's right up there these days with Elon Musk. You know, Kathy Wood's right up there. What is she buying? What is she selling in her ARK investment funds, her ETFs? They've come off. They're about 15 to 21%. Her bellwether, her flagship ARKK, is down 21% from its high. Now, we're not anywhere near down 21% from our high, and we did own very similar stocks 2 months ago. I mean, if you compared what she owned and what I owned, we were pretty similar. But we've had a big divergence since then. We're just friends now, you know. She's gone a different way. She's continued to do what she's doing. And I've taken massive evasive action out of tech and into other areas of the market. We'll see who's right in the end. But, you know, I would be down about 20 to 21% from my highs had I not done anything and had I not seen anything, had not seen this thing coming and got out of the way of a freight train coming down the track called value that was getting ready to run over growth at the intersection of value and growth. So she's buying 3D systems, DDD. You know, I've watched that stock over the years. I've never been a fan of the 3D printers. I haven't seen any of them that have really made money consistently and turned into fantastic growth stocks. But that's what she's buying. She's also Invitae. CEO appeared on CNBC after Kathy Wood's pump earlier this week. That's what they're called. I'm just reading the headline here. She was talking the stock up. That's a test tube stock. That's a genomics stock. That's another kind of printing. That's redoing and editing your genes in a test tube. And there's a lot of companies doing that now. CRISPR would be the bellwether for that one. Editas is another one, EDIT. Invitae is a very popular one, NVTA. Personally, I don't think this is a good environment for those kinds of stocks. Now, these are a step down the ladder from the semiconductors, the software, the cloud stocks. They have earnings, and their earnings are growing at a consistent rate, but their valuations got a little high, so you're seeing the multiples come in. Now, you go down another rung on the ladder, and you're into the stocks that don't make money, that hope someday to have a product that makes money. A lot of the startup electric car stocks, EV stocks, they don't have a product yet. If you wanted to buy one of their cars, you couldn't even buy one. They're a couple years away from even having a product. And then, of course, you get into the gene editing stocks. Yes, that may be the future of biotech. But in the meantime, there's a big wait between now and then, and there's a lot of risk between now and then. Personally, for me, those are not the stocks to be in. Those are not the best stocks now. Well, Gunderson, what are the best stocks now? Well, when we come back, will start to shift now. As the pendulum shifts, we shift with it. I'll start to name some names here, all right? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second half. Dow up 15, NASDAQ up 27. Let's call it a very lukewarm day so far in the market. All right. Well, you know, the market is shifting. We're seeing a seismic shift in the market away from one area, a couple areas, into some areas, into some uncharted waters that we haven't seen for a while in the market. Well, what is on the receiving end as the tide goes out on the tech and the growth and the mega caps? Where is the tide coming in at? Well, let's take a look here at some of the sectors in the news here today. I've already kind of said, I don't think the 3D printers, I don't think that's the place to be right now. I don't think the genomics stocks are the place to be right now. I see air travel's increasing. It was the busiest weekend since last March a year ago. You know what? The air travel stocks were not leaders before this all started to happen in the market with COVID. I'm not so sure they're going to be the leaders again. They've got a long ways to go, a couple years maybe, if ever. To get back to where they were. And I would say the same thing about the other leisure types of stocks, hotels. I see that the cruise ship industry, I think it was Norwegian, one of them said, you know what, we're going to have a couple more really tough years. So even though there's a lot of money going into those areas of the market, I don't see that as a leading sector in the market. Well, let's look to the best stocks now for some clues, okay? You know, besides ranking stocks, it also ranks asset classes. It also ranks sectors of the market. And it also ranks ETFs, which give me a lot of clues, mutual funds. Okay, the number one ranked asset class right now, Bitcoin. Well, that's the Bitcoin Trust, GBTC, and I consider Bitcoin to be an asset class. You got a little issue with Bitcoin today. India is making some noise about banning Bitcoin, would make it criminal to possess Bitcoin. Could the U.S. follow? Well, I would just say this about Bitcoin. I think countries of the world want their own. China's moving in that direction to have their own digital currency, not one that is out there in the public domain like Bitcoin, where government doesn't have much control over it. I think we're going to move towards a more controlled type of digital currency. So I do think that Bitcoin could be in trouble if governments start to crack down and create their own, you see, their own digital currency wherein they can have more surveillance. And, I mean, they'll do it in the name of money laundering, preventing money laundering and this kind of thing. But suffice it to say, Bitcoin right now is the number one asset class. Number two, now this is where we start to really see the rotation taking place. U.S. small cap dividend index. So there's an indication that the market is moving away from mega caps. I mean, for a while there, it was the trillion-dollar stocks that was everybody was plowing into. Microsoft, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Tesla, and on and on and on. Anything, you know, at or near a trillion or over a trillion. Well, now look, you've got U.S. small cap dividend index. Number three, U.S. small cap value index. Now, I've seen this movie before. And you think, well, this is a flash in the pan. I saw value, small and mid-cap value, lead the market for a couple of years before. I don't know if it will do it this time, but it has emerged to the front of the parade. Number four, U.S. Mid-Cap Value Index. Number five, Commodity Index. Hey, this is all the stuff Gunderson's been talking about since late February. Well, I saw this movement early on. You know, I have to set my app so it's not too late to the party, nor too early to the party. And I started to see this, well, and you know where else I see it? I see it in the individual stocks. When I see a big growth stock like Amazon just faltering and really a sailboat without any wind at its back anymore, and on the other hand see big chemical stocks moving, well, that denotes a big shift in the wind blowing in a different direction. So commodities number five. Commodity stocks are just sizzling right now, and that's being helped along by rising interest rates, one, a recovering economy, which is going to increase the demand, two, the supply is a little bit behind the curve, three, because we've had COVID and factories have not been running at 100%, neither has the economy. As the economy's coming back online, you've seen all of a sudden oil prices spike. That's a commodity. You've seen copper prices spike. That's a commodity. Fertilizer prices, chemical prices, and on down the line. One of the strongest stocks in the market, or one of the strongest ETFs, is UGA. Unleaded gas. That's right. If you want to, I paid a lot more filling up my tank over the weekend. I noticed it was $2.56. Whereas it wasn't that long ago, it was $1.99. So we're definitely seeing a rise in raw material cost, thereby benefiting the commodity, the mining, the steel, the aluminum stocks, the MLPs out there. Okay, and then the very next one is large cap value. Those are your six leading asset classes right now, according to Best Stocks Now app. But that's the ranking of the asset classes. That's the best asset classes now. What's near the bottom? Well, U.S. bonds, Gary U.S. bonds, right? U.S. Treasury, long bond, at the bottom. Emerging market, or in other words, a sovereign debt, at the bottom. The total bond market, at the bottom. Gold, at the bottom. High yield, junk bonds, anyone? At the bottom. The emerging markets have all of a sudden fallen from grace. Large cap growth is at the bottom. Small cap growth, the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ was leading the market. Now it's ranked number 2,376. Topsy-turvy. You know, we used to have a phenomenon on the West Coast. I now reside on the East Coast. But we would have a thermocline in the water where the cold water would rise to the surface every 6 weeks or so, or 2 months or so, and the warm water would go down. What was at the bottom is now at the top. That which is at the top is now at the bottom. We've seen that in the market. Now let's move on to the sectors of the market, okay? There's more sectors than there are asset classes, because within an asset class of small cap value is made up of a lot of sectors, banks, small chemical companies, small auto suppliers, small retailers, etc. Let's take a look at the leading sectors in the market. You would hardly recognize it. You know it's at the top, but there's a big footnote and an asterisk next to it. The retail sector is number one. Well, a lot of the retail stocks are doing well. American Eagle, Abercrombie and Fitch. I'm not a fan of the retail stocks. I'll tell you what's really influencing that retail sector, XRT, ETF. It's that stupid GameStop. It's throwing several sectors out of whack, making them look a lot better than they really are. Number two, dry bulk shipping. When's the last time you bought a dry bulk shipping ETF? It's been a while. It's number two. Number three, regional banking sector. Why? The banks benefit from rising interest rates while the growth stocks suffer from rising interest rates. The regional banking sector has not been in the, you know, with the interest rates where they were in the interest rate environment, banks were one of the worst sectors to own. Now, out of the about 70 sectors that I track, regional banks, number three. Number four, metals and mining sector. Not gold, not precious metals, No, you got to look to iron ore pellets. You got to look to copper. You got to look to steel. A whole different ballgame out there. Number five, investment services. Well, yeah, T. Rowe Price, Fidelity, not publicly traded, but Blackstone, Merrill Lynch, which is Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, they're benefiting from higher interest rates. Do you see how things have turned
this
around
is Bill
here?
Anderson.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back to the final segment of Best Stocks Now in a market that has undergone a massive, massive remodeling project over the last, well, I said the top of the NASDAQ was about February the 15th, February the 8th, right around in there when the NASDAQ hit 14,095. And really the catalyst, the spark underneath it was the rise, the sudden rise. You know, yeah, we still have low interest rates. I won't argue that. We're at 1.60, but the speed that the interest rates went up, I think, really kind of spooked the market. And the market stepped back, people stepped back, the big investors, and kind of reevaluated their risk and reevaluated P.E. levels and forward P.E. levels and saw a lot of very high-altitude P.E. ratios and price-to-sales and price-to-book and price-to-cash flow. Remember my little lesson last week, Econ 101, the four major ratios of valuation are price-to-earnings, price to cash flow, price to book value, price to sales. I look at forward PE a lot compared to the growth rate. And PEG ratio also is important to me also. And there's been a, you know, a reconciliation, a valuation reconciliation that's taken place in the market. And I would say there's also been a move, a massive move away from stocks that benefit or that are hurt by rising interest rates to stocks that benefit from rising interest rates. The financials are a natural. I mean, the financials benefit. They make more spread, more margin. The investment management firms do better because they charge margin rates. They can charge higher margin rates, and there's more money to be made. There's more spread for the banks between the money they take in as deposits and the money they lend out as loans. So it's really helped the financial sector. And as I've said before, going into that financial sector and finding stocks then that meet my 80 to 100% upside potential becomes difficult. But they're out there. Let me give you an example. Okay, I don't own this one, but this one I've been tracking. This shows up as my number one ranked stock in the market. You're saying it's Tesla. I know, Bill. It's Roku. You don't need to tell us. It's you know, Zoom Info. No, it's DocuSign, right? No. No, that was last year. If you've been listening to my show last year at this time, it was a whole different group. Even as you know, back in mid-February, you know, as recently as early beginning of February is a whole different group. Ares Management, A-R-E-S, is the symbol here. This is a dividend payer. Okay, it shows up as my number one ranked stock, headquartered out of Los Angeles. They're a money management, investment management company. They provide investment management services to institutions and high net worth individuals. That's why they won't take me on as a client. I begin saying, someday I'll be high net worth. Maybe, I don't know. No thanks, Mr. Gunn. Anyways, Ares Management is trading at a reasonable forward PE ratio, which helps. That's one of the criteria that I look at when it comes to that valuation numbers. It's trading at a forward PE of 20.9, but it's expected to grow by 17% per year. So the PEG ratio is 1.22. By contrast, the PEG ratio on DocuSign is, that's not a good example. Let's use Zoom Video. Zoom Video's PEG ratio, 3.39, okay. So I like them close to 1, especially in this environment. These big high ones, this is not going to cut it. So anyways, it's got a reasonable PEG ratio. It's got 80 to 100% upside potential, according to my calculations here. Does Ares Management, A-R-E-S. It's a mid-cap. It would fit in the mid-cap value, which is the third leading asset class in the entire market. So now let's go out and find some of the best mid-cap value stocks out there. That's another beauty part of the app, is you can now go within an asset class and find the leading stocks within that sector or asset class that fit my criteria. And it has momentum. That's the other part of my formula here. Ares Capital Management has a momentum grade of A, bringing it to be the number one ranked stock overall out of 5,636. Over the last 12 months, the stock's up 83%. Now let's take a look at, I think it has a dividend yield too, a pretty juicy dividend. 3.4% is the dividend yield. So anyways, I use that as an example because this is not DocuSign, this is not Zoom, this is not Tesla. It's an asset manager, a mid-cap value stock out of Los Angeles, which becomes the number one ranked stock in my app today. It's just a whole different ball game out there. If you looked at the 52-week new high list right now, you better get to know those stocks, because you probably don't. While we've become enamored and almost hypnotized by a lot of these startups and EVs and Bitcoin and digital this and digital that, they're not a good place to be invested in this environment that we are now in, a rising interest rate environment. It's a whole new ballgame out there. Well, put a lot of work into the newsletter over the weekend. It was a long project. When there's massive change in the market, it takes a lot longer to do the newsletter. I think we're finally starting to settle into a kind of a groove here with the way the market has gone. But there's been a lot of upheaval over the last month or so. And I think that upheaval and now how things are starting to settle is an indication of where we're going forward. So if you keep trying to do what you've been doing over the last couple of years, I just don't think it's going to work. You got to go in a little different direction here. That's what we've done. What have we done? You can get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com, or you can call us about managing your portfolios. Are they still trying to beat a dead horse where you're at? Are you still in bond funds? I don't know. Call us. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.